there's something curious happening. I'm feeling a buzzing in my body.
Ezekiel 37, and specifically verse 4, all the way in the 5, and read it.
I don't have my computer.
Oh, we don't either, but we get accused of it all the time.
Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will breathe to enter into you, and ye shall live.
Just for fun.
And I will lay the noose upon you.
Sinews
upon you, and will bring upon flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord.
Ta-da! There you go. The sinews has got on you, honey. The sinews has got on you.
It's Kevin.
That's a really big parlor trick.
Don't tell them that they'll accuse us of talking right. Don't do that.
What's the parlor trick, John?
Raising people from their bones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
See, Bob says, because he's documented already. Well, there's one in Latvia, and there's one in Switzerland that has documented his work.
Oh, really?
Good way to get slaves.
But then we don't know if we're preaching or politicking at this point, so it really doesn't matter, does it?
Can you clarify for me, Ion, what all that means?
Ascension is happening despite you. That's all.
You don't have to do anything, Susanna. You're being taken along anyways.
So I am not helping. I am not doing. I am.
You am. Just stop right there. I am. That's good enough. That works. You are. Yeah, you are.
So you're saying in spite of me. So am I trying not to?
Well, apparently, you certainly better make it a white knuckle flight for us so far.
Son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Through briars and thorns be with thee, and to those dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks. Thus they be a rebellious house.
Why did you read that? I'm asking the break. What is the significance of what you just read, Joseph?
Next time Joseph speaks, I'm muting him. He's just doing a monologue.
Oh. Well, it worked okay for Jack Parr.
Joseph, tell her what she's asking. Way to go, Joseph. Way to dampen down the whole evening. Put a bad stink on it.
Ion, what is the significance of what Joseph read?
Ask him.
I did.
Okay. So at some point, this God thing has got to kick in. At some point, you have to come into the position where you attract the things you want and embrace those things to your pleasure and delight. Now, sometimes you have to have too much ice cream to find out how much is the appropriate amount of ice cream to have at one time. So it's not a bad thing to have too much ice cream then, yes?
Well, it could be, but I guess not if you're
doing it. But once you establish the point that is too much ice cream, like projectile vomiting ensues and, you know, that kind of stuff, once you get to that part, or you sneeze or cough and the ice cream comes out your nose, like salt syrup ice cream, you know, that's hopefully an indicator you may have had enough. But you have to establish that before you know how much too much is. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, but once you do, then you can make a parameter in which you can contain all that you'd like to know regarding ice cream, your position regarding ice cream, how ice cream likes you, how you like ice cream, how much you like it, how you like it, when you like it, when you like it best, how you like it soft, and how you like it really, really, really frozen hard, and then how you enjoy ice cream on winter days because you don't have to eat it so fast. It'll stay frozen, hunger. All those things about the ice cream, it's them you decide, okay? The ice cream isn't doing it to you, darling. And if he's reading something, if he's a god, He didn't have to give spit about you or what you think about any of it. But if you engage with him, then you can come to a position where that answer comes forth. As a God, you'd know, we say. But we find ourselves making little words and then having to find chip body references for you to go back and find so that you can validate or ramificate those words that were already spoken in the first place. Seems trite to us.
What happened to Ra when he asked the question, what is it?
He could never access it again, the power of the serpent.
Just do something cool, like have a chocolate cigarette and eat sausages.
Yeah.
Resurrect the dead in Latvia, you know, with a new prism, you know, by engineering an artificial upson that can recreate integral colors into whiteness.
You can. That's exactly right. But the chocolate cigarette sounds fun, too.
Where in Latvia were these bones?
We didn't say.
Is it confidential?
No, we just didn't say.
No, are you afraid to say?
We are a lot of things, but our fear is not one of them.
You wouldn't answer Susanna, so why should he answer you now?
That's not Yosef, Bob. It's someone else.
That's not Yosef. That's someone else, Bob.
That's not Yosef. That's someone else.
Come on, Bob.
It is Yosef.
You're driving this
phone. That's Yosef.
No, it's not, Bob. It's not.
No, that's not Yosef. That's someone else.
Well, he represents Yosef's archetype. He's not getting an answer.
The reason these of y'all are getting away with all this is because everybody's busy taking all their clothes off right now trying to get ready for the party. So that's what it is. Somebody's waiting to say, bag, you're it.
You talk about me being obsessed.
It's not a question.
Fucking, he does this every week.
And twice on Sunday.
Well, they're doing a lot of it in Iran. You'd be welcome over there, Ion.
Get us some of that ram-a-lam-a-ding-dong.
You made the reference of Jesus saying, do not touch me, my ascension is not yet complete. Does that mean we should be careful about hanging around with those who are not ascending because they could impede our own ascension?
They cannot impede it. What they can do is they can have a ramification from it. But you're going to find, and you've heard this, a lot of them talking about how they have relations with people, and all of a sudden lately they just can't seem to stand their lifelong friends or people they're around always who maybe aren't engaging. If they aren't engaging, they find them just deplorably ridiculous lately.
I've been feeling like that. I just have this desire to be where there's other people who are ascending, and I've been feeling recently that I feel drawn to North Carolina, and I want to know if there's something to that or just my head making stuff up.
Hendersonville.
Is that in North Carolina?
Yes.
Was that Deb Swetch double at the bookstore yesterday or just someone that reminded me of her? Excellent.
It was a double.
Yeah.
It was a drop-in, though.
Yeah, because it was amazing, because at the time she was picturing her double, I, like, saw this woman that I thought was Deb's double. It was great, so thanks.
Right. Her name is Clarice, though.
Ion, the Sinus reference in Ezekiel 37, verse 6, Sinus, is that reference to ligaments and the tendons?
Yes, sinews, yes. It's how the tendons attach to the muscle, to the meat, to the bone.
The reference to the breath in the Bible, specifically like in verse 5, the breath, breathing. The breath of life, is that carbon dioxide?
No.
There's a reference of God breathe into the body. That's really an exhale. It's more of an exhale. So would you outline, you're going to say it's old school, right?
No.
There's a reference in Qigong and Pranayama, which I know is woo-woo, but...
We like Abba-Dabba-Doo and Ram-a-Lam-a-Ding-Dong. We like them all. All the way up to Whack-a-Mole. That's good, too. There's powerful chi in Whack-a-Mole now, let me tell you.
Would you outline what Whack-a-Mole is? How do you spell Whack-a-Mole?
Yeah. W-A-C-K-A-M-O-L-E. space, M-O-L-E, whack-a-mole.
It's a game where the moles keep going up and down. You, as they come up, you're supposed to whack them down with this big furry mallet. My Coney Island days come forth.
But there's some powerful stuff in that whack-a-mole. We've seen people healed playing whack-a-mole.
Going back to whack-a-mole pranayama qigong, in breathing, there's a secret reference of duality, meaning that when you...
And Dionysus, one by means of two, we know. Go ahead.
Okay, then you just answered my question then. Because
yes, of course you did.
When you inhale, there's also a dual reference that you're actually exhaling.
You never inhale, you only exhale. You can't inhale. You don't live in a vacuum. Your lungs are not a vacuum. When a baby's born, they smack them so they'll cry. That's so they'll exhale. Then the breath comes in them, and that's when the stenographer shows up.
The first learned behavior. If you don't get smacked on the butt, you're going to reflexively take in a breath. Anyone?
No, you don't take in a breath. You don't reflexively. You must exhale first.
Oh, there's the cry.
That's right, the cry.
And once the cry is completely out, it has to go to get another
right.
breath to make the cry again until it stops. Okay.
Ta-da. And that's why the Catholics say that they can't go to heaven, those unbaptized babies, because they didn't get a soul. So they have to wait outside of heaven with St. Peter, who apparently didn't qualify to go through the pearly gates either. Jasper. There's some Jasper somewhere.
So that's why you meet him at the gates, because he never made it.
Right, basically. Then they're doomed to spend eternity playing whack-a-mole.
May I ask a question?
You just did.
Oh, another one. I'd like to ask another
one. That is.
Will you talk about acupuncture?
Okay, basically what acupuncture is breaking of the dermis, lining electrical pathogens. We say pathogens like it's something neurotic, but it's not. But there are little synaptic nerve endings all over your body. Like, that's why when you, like, prick your finger, it hurts more than if you poke yourself in the arm or the leg, because you've got just millions of little nerve endings, so you don't burn your hand off on the stove. But you can scald your elbow before you ever knew what happened. That's the difference. The number of those little lines that say pain sensors or receptors or feeling things. Okay. Now, you also have chi. That's energy in your body. We've told a lot of people to put copper on and tit, tat, itch, scratch, and everything a box of cat crap will get you for a dollar doing those different things. But what the chi is the energy that you want to lower the chi in your body. Once you do that and get your energy level balanced, then people, a lot of people like and use acupuncture, their points. And we like classic Hang Hong Kang Na type. It's our most favorite kind of Chinese acupuncture, classic. Actually, from the Ming Dynasty is where the best came from. They mastered all those tactile nerve endings exactly so that you can place a needle on the body and have different predicated outcomes that it'll do. Now, how this works is the needle is what's key, because as it pierces the dermis, it lines up or sends an electrical current through that path and goes to the mind to overload with a sensory perception its connection. So it basically hot wires the hypothalamus into thinking that something else is driving you. As you see where we're going here very quickly, if one knows what one is having done to them, acupuncture is amazing. But the best acupuncturists in the world do not do it to themselves. So it's good to find one. We say classically trained Chinese, but we just have bias to it. But I guess any numb nut motherfucker can do it, but we would say get a seasoned one if that's your choice. So what you're trying to achieve is an electrical balance in the body. When you balance your body electrically, then you also have a charge. You have a charge, positive or negative, or how the distance between those poles. And that can affect the adrenals and connect it to the lipids. Now, here's where it comes into lysine. Once you start lining up with, say, how your body reacts to the needle, what your body naturally does is it goes, well, normally it would say it's pain, but a good acupuncturist will never make you hurt. If they're going to hit a tender place, they'll knock you out, put a needle in you and knock you out. And they can do what they want to do and basically have their way with it. And that's good. A good one will know how to do that. But then what happens is if the lipids get involved and with the application of lysine, which is basically the great rounder before it's all over with, within the lipids are found within the lipids pattern. Within the lipids, that allows those to transcend or to shift. Transcend might be too big a word. Let's just leave it as they flip-flop. It makes the lipids flip-flop a little bit. And in their flip-flop, sometimes that denotes activity. Within activity, sometimes the labyrinth of the mind says, something's going on. Just like Pavlov's dog when they rung the bell. He rang that bell and the dog will slobber. Y'all know that. If you get used to it, that an acupuncture is like Pavlov's dog. It'll make it slobber when you put the acupuncture on. Now, if slobber is what you're looking for, that's the ticket. It works. But because of the way the beast act and work, you can use acupuncture to shift parts of your meat sack body like a god. Until you become God, we have no issue or problem with good therapeutic acupuncture.
Is it good to lose weight?
Why would you want to forfeit mass?
You have too much.
Who said? Men's health? If you look at those, they can't even hold up their penis, let alone hold up their body. They got to be 9 pounds soaking wet. If you've got any muscles to get you up where you can walk around, you're overweight.
Right.
You're 155 pounds and you're morbidly obese.
Are the RNA drops a way to bypass not needing a acupuncturist?
You do not require acupuncture at all. Okay.
Right.
It's a pleasurable thing.
Okay.
It's a pleasurable thing. If you have something that's sideways and that gives you relief or aligns it for you, just like stretching. See, we like boo-boo and yogi too, but we would never send you to one. Golfing where they put the flat of your foot to the top of your head, that's good for you too, but we wouldn't send you to a rolfer.
You reference lowering the chi. Is that you're referencing lowering the chi into the hara?
Into the hara, yes.
Would you give us a example of how we would do that?
You know, in that man, let's see, he wrote the book in the Vatican, the Codex. He wrote that. We like him real good. We quote him just all the time. There's a quiz. Did you know there was a quiz? Who wrote the Codex?
Michelangelo or Leonardo?
Leonardo da Vinci. Okay, da Vinci says that you line yourself up and get yourself in your quadrants. Figure out where your quadrants are. Then you lift your hands, those things that are attached to your arms, you lift them toward heaven. That means away from hell, toward heaven. And you come to a pinpoint accuracy, say if you were pointing north, like up. You don't know that, to point up, straight up, from wherever you are in your proximity. Then you turn your hands open, hands back to back, straight up over your head, touching. Then you basically slowly wind your hands down, making a big circle down toward your side. And as you exhale, when you're performing this junction, it allows you to lower your chi. Now, once you lower your chi, then you can take a candle and extend your hand toward the candle and extinguish it. You can also lift your little finger and light the candle without any fire. You see that in movies, but the reason you see the movies is because cops do it anyway. And then you think, oh, well, you're just making wind. So we'd say, go out and put it on the side of a window, put it on a table, go outside the window where the wind can't do it, and do the exact same thing. Probably the most we've seen is doing 2 36 light standing candelabras at once. Takes a bit of energy to do this, though. If y'all want to play with this, when you know your chi is lowered, you know those, they call them birthday cake candles. They're big pillar candles with lots of wicks in them. Those are great fun because then there's no direction. You're confused by which one is burning and not burning. And so sometimes, and then you get where you can do them all by just waving your hand. I'm talking feet away. All of them just go poof and goes out. And you raise your little hand up right quick, and all of a sudden, some of them or all of them will go, phew, and all of a sudden, they're back alight again. It's so much fun. But when you can do that, that's how you know you've lowered your chi.
There's a lot of reference to nerves being like fire. Are the nerves the non-physical connection to the meat sack?
No. Nerves is not like fire. Nerves are what take the experience or the feeling place through the hypothalamus to the brain. To say this is tingly or hot or cold or good or not good, you add intention to it from there. That's how in certain positions it's very uncomfortable, and then you can ease into it or relax into it, and all of a sudden you like it all the time. Twice on Sunday.
You referenced the switchgear and chromosome 14. Is there a connection with what you just mentioned about the nerves, the intention? Is the
Lipids. Lipids and lysine, darling. The amino acid of the gods, yes.
Ion, can you talk about how there are different dimensions in single worlds?
Okay, do you know onion?
Yes, it has many layers.
Well, so does this world. When you get to the third layer of the onion, is that part of the onion?
Of course.
Is that onion in this world?
Yes.
Are there petals of the onion that are from another world?
No.
Very good. Well, it could be, but typically not. It can be, but that's not the point. The point is trying to say, his question was, are there dimensions interdimensionally within a world itself? So can you have multi-world experiences in dimensional ramification of this realm. Realm is the word you're looking for. That cleans it up for you. Then it's easier to swallow. Well, of course, in my realm, I can have a deck of cards that has 52 cards.
Could each layer have a different frequency?
It does. It has to. Otherwise, you'd never know. Yawn. Pick up the topic.
I would like to travel one world through portals, like, say, go from New York to Paris through a doorway. Is there a certain method that I could use to do that?
All the portals are open now, so you just fall through them anymore. You need to talk to number one. You've got all the signals. See through the symbols that are signaling the way they were before they all opened. But now they're all open, so it's almost kind of silly to even do that. But he's probably the best at that so far on your realm.
Yeah, I just seem like I'm slipping from different world to world. I guess I want my eyes to catch up with the portals that I'm going through.
So you need help with your bias. Then you better talk to Bob about your deceptive biases. Bob's who will help you with that.
Now, is bias your perception then?
Apparently.
Is it yours?
Yeah. Is it touche? Is it yours? That's right. That's right. Because until you have a bias, you don't know your perception. So good. Very good. Bob would say. That damn Wyndham Lewis just messed up everything.
Hey, what's the four episodes of Doctor Who that you recommended? It briefly described the Beauchamp Peninsula. Are there people here from the Beauchamp Peninsula that don't age or live for hundreds of years?
Well, there's no time, so yes.
Someone sees your past so-called past lives, they're actually seeing your life simultaneously from other dimensions?
They may. They certainly can. Carolyn found on this, she found this out very first, very early on, trying to figure it out from the astral projection and then what's called slippage. Slippage, which is like a traveling astral projection for people that jump back in, go too quickly, and end up with sore muscles and like scurvy or where they're, the bends or the pressure. It feels better when they're being mashed because of carbon dioxide actually in their system. So there it is again. But once that gets leveled out, you can travel easily, painlessly, without any issue.
What's going on with the right side of my torso? Did it pull a muscle or what?
No.
Is it something inside the giblets?
Has it whittled down to a bread box?
No, to the giblets, yes, to the bread box.
Tell me more about the bread box.
Do you know diverticulitis?
I've heard of it, yes.
In the simplest, smallest, least position of that you could ever engage is sort of what you're feeling from a, what you call a pulled muscle, but it's that retching, reeling, hurt, just sore. So
oh.
It's like that.
So more drops when they come.
Okay.
Hey, Slippery Elm helps that, Andrew.
Slippery Elm Hoos does indeed. The good dose of castor oil couldn't hurt either. Most of you human creators are quite full of shit.
Castor oil is a common remedy recommended by Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce, can that be expounded upon now, or is there still cleaning up to do in his work or his residue?
He said use the pack, castor oil pack. We say take a spoonful of castor oil.
And I disagree.
Absolutely.
It can be too purging, not necessary. Fiber and magnesium and slippery elm will do just fine.
So double up on the magnesium, then.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you know what? REMAC won't do it.
Well, not for the laxative effect, but just to relax the area. So what the diverticulitis is little pouches in the intestines kind of go into tension and create real pouches that trap whatever fecal matter.
Particulate. This little part of food.
Pouch. And what magnesium does, even the REMAG, it's not for the laxative effect, but just to relax the muscles in general in the body, including the intestinal tract. And more water, you know. Dehydration is the cause.
Gin, bell water, gin. Dr.
Ginger
D, what's up? Ginger ale. We like ginger ale. Actually, that's sugar water. It's good. Dr. Dean, well, since you're here, we are so thrilled you've joined us. Tell us now, you have come to some pretty established and founded conclusions regarding this ridiculous magnesium stuff. This seems to be based on something. Could you please enlighten us? We are all just, men non-physical are just pining to know exactly who do you think you are to have this opinion regarding magnesium? Please enlighten us.
I am the magnesium queen. Didn't you know? I think you
gave
me that.
No, and see, Paula Dean is the butter queen, and Carolyn Dean is the magnesium queen. Look at that.
There you are. And that's the end of the story. I'm the magnesium queen.
Did you just make this up, or is it based on something?
It's based on the body wanting magnesium for thousands of biochemical interactions, and when it doesn't have it, it pines and vetches and gets all out of sorts and demands it and creates all kinds of problems and contrast until you give it magnesium, and then it calms down. It's very happy.
So this is a visceral tactile experience that has actually affected. Has magnesium killed anybody?
Not yet. I'm still working on it, though.
Is there a fatal dose of magnesium that you're aware of?
No. I mean, doctors can try to do that by pumping IV magnesium into people and keeping their eyes closed, but magnesium, even the REMAG, if you take, quote-unquote, too much, more than you require, you will get the laxative effect. So it's got this built-in safety valve that you'll get rid of it.
There's some that haven't had that, so maybe they're just completely devoid of magnesium in their body. So it's been said now that people who take IV magnesium have been able to replace it with REMAG. The telescope, inquiring mind must know.
When you do IV magnesium, it's like you get, you know, maybe 6,000 milligrams all at once, and it doesn't all stay with you. Some of that, you know, as it gets into the bloodstream before it finds its way into the cells, will get run out through the kidneys and the bladder, and you'll urinate it away. So you don't even hold on to what you get in the IV. So what I do with the REMAG for people who they're so deficient in it, but they get the terrible laxative effect if they take pills and powders, well, I tell them to put their 2, 3, and 4 teaspoons in a liter bottle of water and sip it through the day. And that means none of it runs out in the urine. They get it all in their cells. They get the goody of it. Their symptoms go away. They double their blood levels of magnesium, and all is well with the world.
What's the difference in magnesium chloride hexahydrate and REMAG, Dr. Dean?
Well, I tried to work with the hexahydrate because I thought I could get it into a capsule form so I didn't have to work with heavy liquid bottles, but it's very hydrophilic. It kept on just leaking through the capsules and everything. So it is a good absorbable form, but then again, it's not picometer in size. The whole focus of REMAG is it's a process to be made small enough to go directly into the cells through cell mineral ion channels.
So the benefit of the hexahydrate, if it were in REMAG form, could be prolific, but your REMAG, because of its size, actually has more influence on the meat sack body at the cellular level.
Right. I mean, when I used the hexahydrate, I would still get a laxative effect pretty quickly. So I knew it was not being completely absorbed. And then there are some people that say, well, you know, their magnesium is ionic, and therefore it's 100% absorbed, but that's not true. Ionic minerals just mean a charge.
Now, for country people, well, that means that it doesn't give you the scours.
The ionic would give you the scours. You would get
ionic. Oh, it would give you the scours, but if it's ionic, so it's just a charge. So it's just regular old magnesium that somebody's whistled at or something, eh?
Yeah, right. They put cat purr in it or something like that.
What?
Meow, meow, meow.
No. Wait a second. Hold on. Now, what we want to know, we want to be clear, so there's no confusion. Magnesium is not a drug. Is that true?
That is correct.
Who says?
Well, I say, and everybody else who knows anything would say, because it's a mineral, it's supposed to be in food, so it's like a food. It can't be a drug. But, yeah, you're right. You know, what the medicine is trying to do with magnesium is call it a drug and treat it like a drug and prescribe it like a drug and be scared of it like a drug. So they miss the whole aspect of it being a necessary nutrient that could alleviate hundreds of symptoms in people, but instead all those symptoms get to be treated by drugs.
Nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything against drug companies?
I do.
Okay. What do you have against them?
They totally ignore the fact that the body's not deficient in drugs. and make everybody think that they need drugs to treat symptoms, but people don't, and it ends up to be a commercial enterprise that is focused more on making money for the drug companies than in health.
But the drug companies have to make money. How else would they pay all the lawsuits when people sue them?
Right. Yeah, and they're publicly traded, so they have to make dividends, they have to make profit. So the bottom line is to make profit, not to create a healthy public. There's no mandate for that.
I see. Okay. We just wanted to be clear because it was a little gray. We don't do gray. We stay straight. Do we always agree with you in your position?
No.
Sometimes we overstep it and say something very, very different. But that has nothing to do with your opinion, does it?
No, what I do is I straddle the fence. You have a very definite opinion or perspective in what you say, and I kind of side with sometimes the little man who can't see that extreme opinion. So I try to be a bridge for them so that they can kind of see what you're talking about and slowly get there. So I take both sides.
That's nice. That's nice. Because you basically get that they're not going to get it. So you hold the place until they can get it. That's nice. That's pleasant. Does that feel good for you in your meat sack body?
Well, I see their perfection. I see that a person can reach that level of consideration.
Even the idiots and the ones that need killing, even them?
Well, I give up on them pretty quick. You know, I'll give them one try, but then they cross me, and that's it. They're done.
I see. Okay. Well, now, another side here. Let's say if magnesium were a miracle, what would be its device? Each miracle has to have a device, an amplitude. Does magnesium have an amplitude that you're aware of?
I don't know exactly what your question implies, but the basic thing about magnesium is that the cells really want to work with it. The cells want magnesium inside them, so magnesium tries really hard to get into the cells to do its work, and the form that it wants it in is a food-based magnesium, since we can't get magnesium in the food supply anymore, which the magnesium in food is at the picometer size. So since we can't get it in food because the soil is empty, then I created the picometer size Remag to mimic the food magnesium, and the body says, oh, there's some food magnesium. We love this. So they just slurp it right up and use what they require. The cells use what they require, and if they don't require it, they don't use it.
So with a bit of amplitude modulation, you've converted magnesium into something that can be completely absorbed by the cells.
Right.
You've made it little enough because you are the world's tallest midget. You made it big enough, small enough, so that even the big people can have little things happen to them in a big way.
Exactly. I know. It's just amazing. I get these big, hulking men, you know, athletes and pilots and engineers and, you know, big, burly men who've been ramming their way through life for decades. And then they, you know, they come just sit beside me on the telephone and say, you know, I'm done. I've got anxieties, you know, I'm trembling all the time, you know, my life is over. And I've tried these 50 different supplements, seen a dozen doctors, they don't know what's wrong with me. I read your book on magnesium, and I started to take
it. You wrote a book? Wordy words? Oh, Lord. Well, we're sorry about all that.
I start taking magnesium and I feel better. You know, this can't be right. How can a dozen doctors be wrong, and how can these 50 supplements not work, and a little dab of magnesium makes all the difference?
Little dabs have been good for a lot of things.
So, yeah, it throws people into incredulity. And then oftentimes they're just consulting with me for a one-time consultation just to validate that. You mean to tell me that I've suffered for 30 years and all it was magnesium deficiency? And, you know, there's a little more going on because I get the Relight with all the minerals for the thyroid, and it supports the adrenal glands and all the other things that go out of whack when you've been magnesium deficient and taking all kinds of drugs for decades.
We have one more question. Can you give us a little rundown on the effect Relight has specifically on the hypothalamus and the meat sack body?
The hypothalamus is running the hormones in the body, and I call them the triad, thyroid, the adrenals, and the sexy hormones. And
hey, that's what we talk about.
So when adrenal glands get weakened by stress, women's thyroids will get weak after pregnancy, or just they're born weak because their mother's thyroid was weak. So the minerals required by the thyroid, there are six of them. It's not just iodine. People have gotten all crazy about giving high-dose iodines. Oh, this will do it all.
And, you know, us, we talk about the thin thyroid, and you just cringe when we send people to go get thin thyroid. And you just,
I know. Whoa. It's thin. It's a S-I-N.
Yeah. And we send them to go get it by the suitcases. Oh, it's so funny.
No, not funny.
Wait, but Dr. Dean's not having it. So are you saying that Relight will make your TT hard? Is that what you're trying to say?
Pretty much. I'm saying that.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Lord suffering cat. Now we're peddling penises. Lord.
You had to bring it to that level. I understand.
Down to that. Well, the base level of ascension is penis power.
Well, the other thing is, too, is if you spray some of your Remag on your skin, you'll stimulate your DHEA receptors. DHEA is known as the master hormone. So there's a lot of ways to skin this cat. And
Lord, suffering cats. Well, okay. Now we got the triad. We're getting the triad hooked up. But we are very specifically respecting the hypothalamus because of where it's located in proximity of this brain and how it affects the cerebral cortex. Because we just want to talk about tryptophan, but we don't even want to get all of that because it's a lipid thing, and we're going to work that out from the lipids. But from a basic amino acid, okay, in the body, just a basic building block amino acid, then in a pulling down a pair from, say, a good lysine, there's several, but the double Y or A2 or double Y pair, if you balance that, the lipid response in the body would typically include what? Or how would you know, or when? See how ridiculous it is when we ask you just can't get anywhere. What we're just trying to get to is tell us, Dr. Dean, if you're able, the process that allows the renals in the body to affect with the lipids that cause an increase in a metabolism or an increased metabolist quadrant. What we're trying to get is how the body takes fat, moves it through the systemic parts of the body that affect your metabolism.
Well, that's a lot of words there, Ion. See, what's going on with the hypothalamus is when the hormones aren't working properly,
there's a feedback to the hypothalamus. It's like, help me, help me, help me. You know, push
me
a little.
Dopamine.
Give me something. I'm weakening. I'm going down.
I need a mother's little helper. Give me a quaalude.
Yeah, all right. This feedback throws the hypothalamus off, and then the hypothalamus, it's working up there in the brain. It's got all, you know, neurotransmitters going, and all the neurotransmitters are amino acids, and the fats are important because the neurotransmitters work through the neurons, and the neurons have to have good fats coating them. So, I mean, it's just the intricacy and the interaction of all those biochemicals in the brain. So you can't say that, oh, take a little of this or a little of that. That's what got us into this mess in the first place, is trying to say, oh, well, you know, if I just take a little bit of this, I'll be fine. So, you know, what's happened with the completement formula process is somehow with the nudging of ion, we ended up getting lysine in our RNA drops. We've got methionine and taurine in our realign. So those are the three really major amino acids, the methionine and taurine are sulfur-based. Somehow it just all worked out then with the picometer minerals. I remember screaming at you a couple years ago when you tried to deter me from working with the minerals. You just wanted to focus on the RNA drops. But I just held on, and now it's just all working together. The Relight, Remeg, RNA drops, and the Realign. And with the RNA drops, you probably caught wind of me talking about the white stone that's falling out of the RNA drops now. And
that didn't happen on day one.
That's been created.
Don't tell them that. Everything changed, Dee, when you got to Generation 108. Yeah. That's when it all changed. Happily so. Now, way back yonder, when we was doing the Tale of Tea. Now, this is a fireside chat with Dr. Carolyn Dean, y'all, for the very first time. One of our Franklin Delano Roosevelt's fire.
Okay, Ian, let's have any, how's the people? Do you like this, people?
Wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody like this?
It's intriguing to me that Carolyn stood up for what her experience and working with the chemistry of the body against Ion's, quote, better judgment. I'm just curious, Carolyn, how is it that you stood your ground and worked based on your experience in while getting harassed by Ion saying, no, you don't need to do this, and like that?
I yell at Ion because some people don't think they can do that. But, yeah, I've been working with magnesium long enough. I knew it was important. I think it's partly, Scott, that bridge that I talked about where some people, they really require magnesium. They can't just go into the sewage drinking RNA drops mentality overnight. So I wanted to keep the magnesium for that, and thank goodness I did, because it factors into the whole picture now.
I wanted to make the pure point that you don't need that. And he's correct in the long run in that, just like he was trying to get me to see the limitations of McLuhan. Now Ion is more of a McLuhanite than me, and now Ion's more pro-magnesium than you. So he staged a
pseudo-coup
so that you could realize the complete meaning of being.
Yeah.
And now she, with her bridge, she has connected the whole entire limbic system.
Why did you put your hands on your head? Is that where the limbic is?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's the lysine and the lymph nodes. Oh, the limbic is the third thing.
Okay.
Now, go back in your triad. Back to the Tale of Tea. Been a day or so, darling. Remember the Tale of Tea and then the pearl?
Oh, yeah, it was frightening. Just frightening.
Yeah, frightening. And words and words and words and words and the annals of foreverness is ever since. But it's good that you have it thoroughly written and copywritten every way to Sunday. But within the knacker of the pearl, remember pearls before the swine?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the size or the shape or the size of the hypothalamus?
I don't know if it's a pea size.
It's the size of a small pearl.
Oh, my gosh.
Sometimes it is a bit of a cone shape, like in the freshwater pearls with a little elongation, or the mabi pearl, but it's much tinier. But it's very small, but it's like into a pearl. And the knacker within that makeup, I guess we'll have to find if we have any. If anybody wants to donate their hypothalamus, you probably won't be using it anyway. We would like to have a hypothalamus so we can see if the knacker on the hypothalamus is indeed knacker or if it's some facsimile of knacker. So if somebody wants to give up one and make one available, we appreciate it very much. We will honor it for all the days of what was your life.
Listen to this, Ion. Now, your best friend, Dr. Wikipedia, says that the size of the hypothalamus is that of an almond.
That'd be more of a mabi pearl, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right.
But it's not that big. Or if it is, it's a very small almond.
Getting smaller all the time.
Apparently.
And it's right there in the middle of the brain, like behind the sinuses, kind of midline. And yeah, it does a lot for such a tiny little thing. And this is where humans, they really don't get it, that the hormones and even the minerals, they work at very tiny levels and create huge shifts and changes. And what happened in sort of nutrient biochemistry is doctors just kept giving more and more and more minerals because they didn't seem to be having an effect, and they didn't realize it was because they weren't being absorbed. So they just kept thrashing the body, like with the calcium, with thousands
very,
of milligrams.
They just made, but they were helping the world. They were just making the sewers be rich in nutrients.
Yeah.
That's why we say drink sewage. Drink sewage. It's good for you.
You wanted to get back to the hypothalamus and the whole business of its importance. You were talking about the knacker around it. Knacker, to me, that would represent the lipids again. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we're thrilled. We wanted to bring this together just to talk a minute because there's all kinds of questions. There's all kinds of ups and downs, but everybody misses the obvious. They never get the opportunity to sit down with you one-on-one and say, hey, what the hell is this magnesium bullshit you're strolling around like a bad habit? Tell us about this mess. How does it apply? This RNA stuff, it's drops, it's this, it's cat, it's something. Yeah, something. We don't know what it is, but it's something. And crazy I didn't come up with it or didn't come up with it or it is, but folks are enjoying the benefits of it. And so, good. Good.
Yeah, I think actually you picked up on the discussion we had at the beginning of the show about the RNA drops, how they're absolutely something unique in that they are 108 generations. There is this white substance, the white stone from the Bible that's appearing in it. It's always been there, but it used to be at almost invisible levels, and then someone remembered, yeah, it showed up as grit in the renew, and now it's more like a fine white powder that just drops out of solution in the RNA drop. So they're ingesting this incredible eye cell that is doing things on a biochemical level that, I mean, we're talking about in the patents with the H3O2 that's going to be in the cell aid. All these things are already present in the RNA drops.
Are you referring to the white stone in Revelation 2:17?
Exactly that.
Oh, that's high-minded things. We better be careful.
I know, and we were just talking to you the other night about the eye cell has appeared in history before, but it hasn't been sustainable or reproducible on the level it is now. I was also talking about how the eye block, you know, we're kind of distracted with the RNA drops and creating this whole new fulfillment center just to keep people distracted while we're busy doing the real stuff, the I Block and the Axiom Water and then the Bread of Life.
So you mean all these things that you already told everybody in the whole wide world you're doing, you're actually doing? That's exciting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In your spare time?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, it is very exciting. I, you know, went through my 1,000 pages of notes from Ion Sessions today and was taking out all the sections on Cell 8 and all the sections on H302. It's amazing the information that you shared with us.
Little dabs will do here and there. It mostly comes back to the white stone. It has to do with the two witnesses, the one in Revelation 11. You must have the two witnesses in order to put it to word.
Oh, what are they?
Bob and Connie.
Nelson Paul used to think it was me and Nelson.
Well, he certainly fell away. And Steve used to think it was you and Steve until I came along.
So what, the two witnesses, Ian's the first time you've really brought it up, I think.
No, it isn't. We've done it a million times. Revelation 11. It's in the Revelation, chapter 11.
Yeah, well,
it's in there.
And who are those two? What are they referring to? Is it chemical?
No.
The human beings?
To conquer, to overcome. You won't conquer. The white stone won't conquer or overcome until you have an interpretation, as have the two witnesses of Revelation 11.
The witnesses will witness how you overcome, and what are we overcoming?
And conquer the white stone.
Why do we have to conquer the white stone?
That's how you got it, is you overcame it.
Who are the two witnesses, or what are the two witnesses?
Didn't say.
Bob and Carolyn.
Carolyn thinks it's her. Even Carolyn, the great physician, is a case of megalomania.
Revelation 3:12, too.
Is what?
Another reference that might help.
Help who? For what reason?
The query is, who are the two witnesses?
Yes. 3:12 might help, I see.
The point is in an allusion to ancient ideas of the power of divine name. To know the name of a deity was to possess a claim upon his help. Here,
that's
the power of Christ to save and protect is exalted over the pagan rival.
That's what McLuhan said. Naming is how you control something.
But Revelation 3:17, I get, because thou sayest... Oh, 3:12. 3:17 is cool, though. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, that's pretty weird.
Naked.
What about the one he... Wait, did he just read 3:12 or something?
Correct.
No.
He did read that?
No.
The naming
no.
power?
Carolyn Sixon read 3:12.
Well, what did Ian read? That's the Rumpelstiltskin theme. To name and control.
We don't read.
3:12, King James. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So is that naming the white stone again?
That or Grand Wilaya.
Okay, I'm going to let others in to...
Let him in, let him in, let him in. Let the sin begin.
Does the perfect cell reproduce?
No, does not.
Does it have a nucleus?
Of course.
Why would it need a nucleus if it doesn't reproduce?
It doesn't have to have a nucleus to reproduce, but it has one. The nucleotide has to have a polymer binding. The polymer binding has to attach to something. Just because it doesn't reproduce doesn't mean that the nucleus has to be devoid of itself. from the polymerase of how it attaches itself to new information, that's where that new information is deposited. So can a perfect cell shift and change? Yes. Does it do it with a nucleus? Yes. Does it reproduce? Not necessarily. Does it transcopy its own information to itself? Yes.
Are there parts of the perfect cell that have to be replaced?
Nope.
So tell me again the purpose of the nucleus.
It's to store new information.
Okay. That makes total sense then.
Now, the words are deficient. That's nonsense, what we just said. It's only nonsense because you have to have something bridging you to that cell. Once you get to that, you wouldn't have this question. You see, it'd be obvious.
I know. I'm in the indictable position.
It's okay. It's okay. That's the reason we use those words to get you there, because then you go, oh. And once you go, oh, now it's okay. Because, oh, now we'll allow something else. But hell no, that's a bunch of bullshit, blah, 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 blah. That wangles you back. See that? Now you're back to knowing less than you didn't know to start with. And if you're not going to know something, you might as well not know everything. Right? You want to be the top of the class of not knowing, right?
Does a cell have a brain?
No, it does not.
But it does behave intelligently.
No, it does not. Intelligence would mean you'd have to have stupid cells, and perfect cells aren't stupid. So, no, intelligence has nothing to do with it at all.
A perfect does it have a memory?
No, it does not memorize, no. That's why cancer cells are so elusive, because you think you're trying to kill it, and it's coming back, and you put it in remission, but it won't go away. It doesn't know. If it had a brain or if it thought, it'd know to go away. You've had a war against it for years, and failed, you just have more of it. So if you only had a brain, when you find out you don't have a brain, you don't have to worry about it being insane in the pea brain. Remember that from Eureka, Bob, insane in the pea brain? You need to put them back on Eureka. Put them back on Eureka. That was good for them. It's the Andy Griffith of stardom future technology, Eureka. Mm-hmm. Sci-Fi Network, Hulu.
Okay, when you say lipids, you're talking about membrane. Is that right?
We're talking about the lipid system of the body, the lipids in the body.
Which is around each cell.
Yes, but we're talking about the big part of your body that shifts everything. That moves the
lymphatic system.
Yeah,
that's what you're talking about, because if you're to mathematically calculate the area around each cell and then multiply it by, what, 5 trillion cells? Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
And what's going to happen is you're going to find you need less cells. Once they become perfect with 144,000 double helix pairs, you'll have less cells.
What's that going to look like if one was looking at the other? Looks like Bob.
Bob, okay.
Yeah. If you look on the Egyptian dark horse video, the queen is sitting in front of the Sphinx. And when it first comes into that video, if you look, it's J.R. Bob Dobbs right there. And he's talking to you. There's no going back. Dun, 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 dun. Play that, Bob.
Ion, what are some attributes of the perfect cell?
Thickening of the skin of the palms and the palm of your hand.
At the cellular level, are there attributes of the cell itself that describe it as being perfect somehow?
Not in little man's arena. Your definition would have to be not imperfect. That's the only one you'd embrace, because you wouldn't know a perfect one. On the TT.
I think it also depends on what environment the cell is in.
As to whether or not it's performing a perfect function within that context or environment?
Yeah, that's how I'm seeing it. That's right, yeah. Like, what's it functioning in? It's got to be in some kind of environment.
Does a perfect cell die off like cells tend to die off, or is it immortal?
What does Marshall McLuhan say about environment, Bob?
They're invisible.
And they obfuscate themselves.
Yes, when a new environment comes.
What causes a new environment but the change that caused it to change in the first place, did it not?
Yep.
Tell them that. They don't seem to know.
No, you just did.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Don't put nail polish on the Nutrion.
That's right. It's their neutrino. Do not put Revlon Love That Red on the Nutrino.
Whatever you do, right.
Whatever you do, that's exactly
never
correct. Good. Yeah. Good. Perfect words. Good.
Is that advice just for girls, or does that apply to guys?
No. Everybody. Everybody.
Right.
All guys chilling.
Anybody else
exactly
got questions
no one
about this topic?
From the retribution of Revlon.
Bob, what's the topic?
Perfect.
Revlon. Revlon.
Is Revlon still good for pigs, then?
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Bob, can you just recap what Ion said?
No, he didn't have a clue. He'll listen to it 1,000 times in 25 years from now. You know, Ion really came up with some good stuff back then, but we didn't know. We didn't know. It became the basic building block for life as we know it. But, you know, it's amazing. It was a Hindiades thing. I was like falling over, and I didn't even know. It was words. It was just words. There was a lot of words spoken. I didn't know what they meant. It's just ridiculous. There was syntax. There was no commas. They don't know how to talk. They speak well. They think they do. They confuse extemporaneous speaking with oral interpretation, and then it goes south from there, and then we get lost in the LaRouche quadrant, and it all ends in tears there. But clean calls, and now everything's going to be all right when y'all's lease is up.
What distinguishes a perfect cell from an imperfect cell?
Queen Elizabeth.
You just mentioned her. Lisa is up. Yes.
What, theory on environment?
Yeah.
Applied to sociology. Now, if you're talking cells, then what you have to do is take that idea applied to sociology and then talk about it in terms of cells.
You can do that. Multidisciplinary. McLuhan.
Well, that's what Ion really suggested.
And you can apply that to the angel diagram.
What? There's an angel diagram?
Hey,
God darn, every time we turn around, y'all coming up with something else.
Ascended people, are they able to parallel world travel at will?
Yes. And little ones are too.
I gave a guy to ride that was the manager of a company called Oculus that got bought out by Facebook recently for $2 billion. That guy designed the software out of his garage in Irvine. Virtual reality is here. We're going to need to go mass scale on virtual reality. Is that correct?
You already have. That's how Michael Jackson's using it for his return. But we already told you all that, didn't we? Bob, every time we turn around, we're retelling something we've told them, that we told them we were going to tell them, that we've told them. And now we tell them again, and then they ask the question, we are retrieving those obsolete realities, aren't we now, Bob?
Well, they're not attending every show.
Oh, that's why you have a holographic Michael Jackson, so the real Michael Jackson can play.
Play from the cup or play from another world?
No, he never left. He didn't die.
Here. From here. He's not dead.
He gets to be imitating the
holograph. He was poor and broken, and now he's fat and rich, so he can come and play like he wants to now. Hey, hey, hey. He must have really started with the man in the mirror this time, Bob.
And you know, legend, he's on the drops.
Oh, really?
Don't be talking shit, Bob. You always tell us that.
They love that stuff.
Damn.
The peanut gallery likes it.
See, yeah, he had peanut gallery. Bob's describing the big dick syndrome. If you are blessed with a large phallus, if you run around telling everybody how big it is, the best you're going to get is they're either going to hate you because you got one, or they're going to want to see yours, and either way, you're exposed. So we're working with him on his genteel manners, but it's not working so good so far.
You guys wouldn't know anything if it wasn't for me.
Well, that's right. He told you. He told you, remember?
I told you.
I told you.
Do you use the word guff and non-physical interchangeably?
No, we do not. Guff is a phrase. Non-physical is a meme.
It's phrased in a negative. It's a negation. It's a negation. Non-physical is a negation.
That's right. It means.
What is the guff?
Unphysical.
Unphysical.
Uh-huh. Did you say non-physical is a meme, M-E-M-E, or a means, M-E-A-N-S?
It's a meme that you'll have to ask Bob. It's above our pay scale to get all technically specific.
M-E-M-E.
Meme.
Yes.
It's a meme. It's a meme.
Okay. It's a meme, okay? Non-physical is a meme. It's a meme that's phrased in a negation. Its form is a negation. It's non-physical.
We are not. We are not.
You are the people that are not.
God's peculiar people who are not. That's right.
You're not made of neutrinos, though.
Neither are you.
Ha.
How very quirky of you.
So we're made of quartz.
Dude, no.
It's a neutrino counter.
If you talk about particles, you really miss the whole wave aspect of it all. You know, vibration, nodal point.
We did that earlier and nobody wanted to do it, so we left it laying.
RNA DNA has a crystalline structure. Is this true?
It does.
So is it capable of conducting frequencies?
It does.
Where do the frequencies originate from, or do they originate from within the DNA molecules themselves?
Dr. Dean.
Is it transmitting a frequency, or is it generating a frequency, the DNA RNA?
It'd be doing both.
Both.
If you only regarded in terms of particles, you'd be limited to the idea of particles. Then you miss out on wave and frequency and resonance and all that kind of thing. But the mind fuck is it's both.
Is there a duality, this wave-particle duality, or is this some bullshit created by scientists who can't see beyond their face?
We want to say it's by science, but see, science is, we've done this already, we'll hit reset here. Science can only prove that which is not. So if you make it from a scientific reference point, it's that they don't know how to describe us, they can't figure us out, they don't figure us out, so we are. If they could disprove us, we wouldn't be. So there you go.
I'd like to compare two things. So if you take the pairing of physical, non-physical, in my mind, it's sort of like matter and energy. But if we were to change it ionically, we would say matter and non-matter instead.
Unmatter.
Unmanifest.
Yeah. So negation is like grounding. That's what I'm getting.
I mean, if you prove something doesn't exist, then what is
it? It is. That's what it is. If they can't do that, then it is. That's what science does. It tries to prove that they say, nope, this isn't the case. Nope, it's not that. Nope. And when they
So they can't prove electricity, but it is.
They don't even know what it is. They can't say electricity doesn't exist. They say it, but they can't prove it. So therefore, electricity is. You still don't know what the fuck it is, so, okay.
You said it's alive.
Yeah, that's like the little baby in that movie from the
70s.
Remember the It's Alive series from the movie? You remember that? It's alive.
So that showed my bias.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if it's alive, it's pretty strange alive.
Yeah, I knew you were. You were going to come to me, and here you are. But you better choose carefully, because I'm capable of anything and everything. Make me your Aphrodite. Make me your one and only. But don't make me your enemy, your enemy, your enemy. So you want to play with magic. Boy, you should know what you're falling for. Baby, do you dare to do this? Because I'm coming at you like a dark horse. Are you ready? Are you ready for? Are you ready for a perfect storm? A perfect storm. Because once you're mine, once you're mine. This is what Bob says. There's no going back. That's what Bob said. Mark my words, this love will make you levitate like a bird. Like a bird without a cage. But down to earth, if you choose to walk away, don't walk away. It's in the palm of your hand now, baby. It's a yes or a no, comma, no, maybe. So just be sure before you give it all to me.
Posing for a
all to me.
In the Oval Office plan, and Uncle Sam is rigging cockfights in the Promised Land, and that knife you stuck in my back is still there. It pinches a little when I sigh and moan these days, and I'm thinking I could just use the time alone.
Dude, so you want to play with magic? Boy, you better know what you're falling for. Baby, do you dare to do this? Because I'm coming at you like a dark horse. Are you ready for a perfect storm? A perfect storm? She's a beast. I call her Karma. She eats your heart like Jeffrey Dahmer. Be careful. Try not to lead her on. Shorty's heart is on steroids because her love is so strong. You may fall in love when you meet her. If you get a chance, you better keep her. She's sweet as pie, but if you break her heart, she'll turn cold as a freezer. That fairy tale ending with a knight in shining armor, she can be my sleeping beauty. I'm going to put her in a coma. Woo. Damn, I think I love her. Shorty, so bad. I'm sprung and I don't care. She ride me like a roller coaster, turn the bedroom into a fair. Her love is like a drug. I was trying to hit it and quit it, but little mama, so dope, I messed around and got addicted. So, you want to play with magic? Boy, you better know what you're falling for. Baby, do you really want to do this? Because I'm coming at you like a dark horse. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for a perfect storm? Perfect storm? Perfect storm? Because once you're mine, there's no going back. Isn't that fun?
Ion, do you advocate quadrophenia?
I'll wait.
Ion, describe quadrophenia.
Quadrophenia is four personalities, four sets
four
of
bodies.
Realities.
It's four bodies.
No, it's not four bodies. It's not. It's not four
yeah.
bodies.
The way
well,
I
you can call it as you want to. Well, you can do it, but it doesn't have to be a body. It can be four notions in a body, or it could be four bodies in a notion.
Nah.
Personalities is what we like.
Are there qualities to the four personalities that would be characteristic of any quadrophenic, or that depends on the person?
Depends on the reference, not the person, the reference.
Well, referring to, say, quadrophenia the way Bob uses it.
Bob who?
Yeah, quadrophrenic. So
Bob, you don't have to. You won't, if you listen to Bob, you won't wonder or have an opinion because he'll tell you the opinion. So with that, you don't need us. Mm-hmm. You're the one with that. He already knows. It's bodies,
well,
four bodies.
It's,
four bodies,
I've never...
you're dead. Now it's eight bodies. No, now it's six bodies. No, we got rid of five bodies. No. Wait. Quadrophenic, five. Pendites, four. There's nine and a half bodies. That's what we've decided. There's nine and a half. Then you have the mystery landscape. Don't forget the mystery. And then Lyndon LaRouche and the Queen putting things up your bum. And then poor Wyndham Lewis is in there somewhere. It's terrible.
No, has Carolyn gone to bed yet? No.
Yes, she has. Okay, let's put her clothes on.
Okay, strip it off now. Get naked. Get right.
Do we have to take the clothes off of all four bodies?
If you nut them at the same time, you should. Instead of quadrophenia, that'd be a quadrafucking, wouldn't it? Spelled the same way.
So, what is this quadrophenia?
For personality. Bob says body. We say personality.
Well, Bob, yeah.
What are these personalities?
We have no idea. Four sets of two.
Four sets of two.
How very quadrophenic of us, right, Bob? We don't know. We had a fourth of a mind not to come.
At least three of them knew how to keep their clothes on.
You got the polarity and doubleness of everybody, and then the android meme imitates humans, and it does doubleness, and then it goes inside you, so its doubleness and your doubleness becomes four.
And then your anthropomorphic ante gets sore.
Ion, does electricity have four poles?
No, only two.
The poles are widening.
No, they're getting further apart.
Well, is that why there's global warming?
No, that's why your polar caps are collapsing. There is no global warming.
Oh, there's a new idea, Bert. You know, Gore's image of all the collapsing ice caps.
It's Gore is a cattle thief. Yeah. Gore, Al Gore is a Tennessee cattle thief. We will not listen to people who steal cows.
You get that, Bert? The collapsing ice snow is the splitting apart of the polarity, not heat. That's important.
Yeah. So he doesn't make ice. Hey, warm water freezes faster than cool water, yes?
Yes or no?
Yes or no?
I don't know.
No, yes, no, maybe. Yes, no, stop.
Where's Moon
yes,
Unit?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
A little dweeble.
John, I've read this. Yes, supposedly warmer water does freeze quicker.
Yes, it does. So therefore, if you're having global warming, the water should be freezing. But it's not. It's melting. So if anything, you're having global cooling. But
hey,
oxygen is changing, and you're fixing to have the red tide. Y'all better get ready, because it's coming, the perfect storm. We've done everything but tell you.
Is this storm like storm surges? Are we looking at a high tide?
We've said it already that the big toe of the Statue of Liberty on Ellis Island would be submerged under water.
And the Pacific coast?
Will be prolifically shorter. Except for Torrey Pines. Torrey Pines will make it. It's high enough.
Will Tori Spelling make it?
She sold her house. She ought to live forever. Figure that long to spend the money.
So is this go all the way to Colorado?
It is amazing. No, but the Mississippi River is going to reverse direction.
Does that mean we're going to do a flip of the Earth?
No.
How about a flip of the polarity?
That's already happening.
There has to be an intervention.
No, there does not. There has to be an intervention. There
does
not. That's
the cooling part.
Ooh, no, there does not. No, there doesn't. There doesn't. There's no intervention required. You could have destroyed this ball of wax so far, you would have. You better just back up and let the autonomics kick in. You want to play with magic? You want to play with magic? Okay. We think it's wonderful. Here's what's happened. The gods, you all, becoming gods, gods in training to be God, you're bumping into this nominal place where you've almost got it, but you don't quite. You practically got it, but not quite. We're starting to unfold and layer things out for you so you can get a taste of it. It tastes good. You're like, well, this is so cool. You can just have what you want when you want, the way you want, any way you want it, any way you want it. Cool. And you do. And then you can.
So John's saying he doesn't want it that way. That's why he wanted an intervention.
Then
It seems to me at times that I'm creating the weather that I want. But then you could say, yeah, but everybody else is experiencing the same weather, so you must be doing it collectively. And I say, well, maybe we're doing it collectively, but it turned out the
way
I want
to. They don't even know. They're hot or they're still cold. They don't even know hot and cold. So how do they know what the weather is? They don't have a clue. Like in Southern California.
I remember the immortal words of...
You take somebody in Minnesota and they'll wither in the whole South with a little bit of humidity.
So the not in my world applies because whether or not there's going to be some kind of a global catastrophe is irrelevant to me.
We don't know what you mean when you say catastrophe. You mean from a little man standpoint? Okay. Even that includes a bias, though, doesn't it? Because some people can have their martinis bruised, and that's a catastrophe. Their world is over. So even that's relative now, isn't it?
But we're talking about global changes on a scale that are going to wipe out millions of people.
Fuck up somebody's martini that's a real martini lover, and they'll show you how that works. See, it's relative. It's relative. It's relative.
Ion, tell me more about the Pleiadian varietal that you just barely mentioned a number of weeks ago. Is this an energetic pulse from the vicinity of the Pleiades? And if so, how is this going to affect the Earth?
Dramatically. And with grand ramification.
Did you say it's from Jupiter, John?
No, it's from the Pleiades.
Did you agree with that, Ion, from the Pleiades?
We told him that.
Can you tell me more about the ramifications?
They're prolific.
Define prolific.
Beyond containable or relative knowing of a human creator.
Has it already started?
It has.
What are some of the characteristics?
Turn on the news. Those are the characteristics. Your news is different now. Watch your news.
Is it related to the extension of the poles of the Earth?
Yes, of course.
I don't quite get the repelling idea in magnetism.
Because it doesn't attract. You think maybe how they become further apart.
Did you say something about spin?
No.
Okay.
That magnets don't attract. They only repel.
So is there a complementary attractive force?
No, there's not. They only repel. If they do connect, the reason they connect is to make so virulently, or they snap and they're together, is so that the north and south pole can be the furthest it can be apart.
I would say magnetic lines do something to space, then, for that to work.
Okay. Blame it on the rain.
Are there lines of magnetic force?
No, there are not.
What is it we see when we use filings over a magnet with a piece of paper underneath? They form these lines. So what are those?
Repulsion. The categorical, how they've repelled.
If you're saying repulsion, then that's a continual moving away from each other.
Yeah, of its pole. Like poles repel. Opposite ones snap to make the poles further. The attraction is just to make the north and south further away. And everything else is retract, is pushing away.
Are these forces that do that, are they constantly moving?
No.
They're not?
No, they can. They're not.
What I'm trying to understand is they're going to have some kind of shape, yes?
No.
Ion, I'd like to know more about the field that's around magnets. I've heard it said that what causes magnetism is the spin of electrons. Is this the case?
No, it's not the spin. It's the charge of electrons.
Their alignment in the material?
No, there is no alignment in the material. That's why they move. You have a pole, the furthest pole's away. It's the law of magnetism, unlawful degree of magnetism.
So the electrons are free to spin away from each other, or how are these electrons, are there spins opposite to allow the poles to extend further?
The charge moves from the furthest out. If you think magnets attract, then they don't. They only repel. So this electron movement that you're trying to describe is moot because they don't attract. If they attracted, it would be able to apply, but they don't. So it doesn't. So it isn't. They don't attract. They only repel.
describe from your knowing what's going on at the atomic level to allow this to occur.
The poles that are set from a positive and negative charge arrange the electrons in the furthest part, furthest away from each other is when they feel the best. And they only attract at the point they will extend those poles further. That connection is aligning those electrons to make a further distance between the north and south pole.
What holds an electron in its orbit around a nucleus?
Nothing.
Is the electron trying to repel itself from the nucleus?
Its charge, yes.
So a stronger magnetic field then is the electrons moving into a higher orbit?
A one that moves the poles further apart, always.
So if it has a lower charge, it has a closer orbit to the nucleus?
Not necessarily. That's all changing. It was that way, but no muss. Okay, all in all, good.
So there we have it, folks.